Thank you, Lord. I ask your blessing upon this message, and a blessing upon all who hear it. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. I'm going to tell you some things about Purim that may surprise you. First, the celebration of Purim was not commanded by God. It was merely declared, as we read it at the end of the book of Esther, as a memorial of God's intervention to save the Jewish people from destruction during the Babylonian exile. Now, this is what's written about the origins of Purim. It's a little long. I'm going to read from the end of the book of Esther, but hang in there while I read it to you because it's important. It's Esther chapter 9, verses 20 to 32. Mordechai recorded these events and sent letters to all the Jews in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, instructing them to observe the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day every year, to commemorate the days on which the Jews obtained rest from their enemies and the month which for them was turned from sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday. They were to make them days of celebrating and rejoicing, sending portions of food to each other and giving gifts to the poor. So the Jews took it upon themselves to continue what they had already begun to do, and as Mordechai had written to them, because Haman, the son of... the son of Hamdara, I guess this is pronounced Agagi, the Agagi. If I'm mispronouncing it, somebody let me know how it's supposed to be pronounced. The enemy of the Jews had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had thrown poor, that is, cast lots, to crush and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he ordered by letters that Haman's wicked scheme, which he had plotted against the Jews, should recoil on his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. This is why these days have been called Purim, after the word poor. Thus, because of everything written in this letter, and what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had come upon them, the Jews resolved and took upon themselves that their descendants and all who might join them, that without fail they would observe these 2 days in accordance with what was written in this letter, and at the appointed time every year, and that these days would be remembered and observed throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim would never cease among the Jews, or their memory be lost by their descendants. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Avichail, and Mordechai the Jew, gave full written authority to confirm a second letter about Purim. He sent copies of it to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, ensuring their peace and security, and requiring the observance of these days of Purim at their designated times, as Mordechai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had established for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of fasting and lamenting. At Esther's order, these matters of Purim were confirmed and put in writing in a book. So, the annual celebration of Purim was not commanded by God, but rather by Mordechai, and subsequently endorsed by Esther. Not only that, but the book of Esther is one of 2 books of the Bible in which God's name is not mentioned or referred to even once. The book of Esther doesn't even say that Esther prayed. It only says that she fasted. And we assume that she prayed. If all this causes you pause, it's no wonder, because these are the very reasons why the book of Esther almost missed making it into the Tanakh when the Jewish canon of scripture was decided upon. Now, I started this message from the end of the book of Esther without first laying a foundation of what came before. If I read the entire book to you, we'll be here for quite a long time. So I'm going to give you a condensed version. Are you ready for the condensed version? There was a queen, a stubborn little queen, and Vashti was her name, oh. V-A-S-H-T spells Vashti. V-A-S-H-T spells Vashti. V-A-S-H-T spells Vashti. Vashti was her name, oh. There was a king, an angry Persian king. Ahasuerus was his name, oh. A-S-H plus Verosh. A-S-H plus Verosh. A-S-H plus Verosh. Ahasuerus was his name, oh. This Persian king, this angry little king, he didn't like Queen Vashti, oh. Leave my sight, he said to Vashti. Leave my sight, he said to Vashti. Leave my sight, he said to Vashti. I'll get me a pretty replacement, oh. So they rounded up women and held a contest to find a replacement queen, oh. E-S-T-H-E-R won it. E-S-T-H-E-R won it. E-S-T-H-E-R won it and became the land's new queen, oh. Now there was an evil man in the court of the king, and Haman was his name, oh. H-A-M-A-N spells Haman. H-A-M-A-N spells Haman. H-A-M-A-N spells Haman. He plotted to kill the Jews, oh. Esther had an uncle, a little Jewish uncle, and Mordechai was his name, oh. M-O-R-T-Y spells Morty. M-O-R-T-Y spells Morty. M-O-R-T-Y spells Morty. And Morty learned of the plot, oh. So Morty told Esther, Jewish Queen Esther, of the plot to kill the Jews, oh. So Esther prayed, we assume, and Esther fasted. Esther prayed and Esther fasted. Esther prayed and Esther fasted. And cooked up a plot of her own, oh. So she held some banquets, like Shirley's tea parties, to butter up the king, oh. P-A-R-T-Y spells party. P-A-R-T-Y spells party. P-A-R-T-Y spells party. To butter up the king, oh. One of the nights, after partying hard, the king couldn't fall asleep, oh. So he read from a book of a plot to kill him. He read from a book of a plot to kill him. He read from a book of a plot to kill him. And how he was saved by Morty, oh. The king brought him on and asked what to do for a man he wanted to honor, oh. Thinking the king meant to honor Haman. Surely the king meant to honor Haman. Haman told the king how to honor the man and was told to honor Morty, oh. Haman made a gallows to hang Uncle Morty as he planned to kill all the Jews, oh. But Esther revealed that she was a Jewess. Esther revealed that she was a Jewess. Esther revealed that she was a Jewess, and the plot to kill her family, oh. The king was enraged and made things right and hung Haman on his gallows, oh. G-A-L-L-O's spells gallows. G-A-L-L-O's spells gallows. G-A-L-L-O's spells gallows, and hung Haman on his gallows, oh. So that's how Purim first began, and how the Jews were saved, oh. P-U-R-I-M spells Purim, P-U-R-I-M spells Purim, P-U-R-I-M spells Purim, and that's how the Jews were saved, oh. Now, Purim is kind of a strange holiday because it has both a light celebratory side to it and also a side that's deadly serious. I don't use the word deadly by accident because before Ahasuerus saw the light, he was a willing participant in Haman's plan to massacre all the Jews in his kingdom. And were it not for God's intervention, he would have. I cannot help but connect the ancient story with the one we are living through today in Iran's threat to annihilate Israel. Look at these similarities. King Ahasuerus and his henchman, Haman, they were Persians. And what is the land of modern Iran? Persia. Modern Persia, now called Iran, is no longer a kingdom, but rather a Muslim theocracy ruled by its supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The head minister of Iran is no longer Haman. It is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. In the story of Esther, King Ahasuerus is the supreme ruler, and Haman is given the king's delegated authority and power to act as the kingdom's executive and spokesperson. By analogy, in modern Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is the supreme leader, and Ahmadinejad has been delegated his authority and power, similar to Haman. In the story of Esther, King Ahasuerus appears as a powerful, behind-the-scenes ruler who allows Haman to have his way in the kingdom. In modern Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is a powerful behind-the-scenes ruler whom we know little about and who appears to allow Ahmadinejad to have his way in Iran as Haman was given his way in ancient Persia. According to the book of Esther, King Ahasuerus had no basic dislike of the Jews, but he was manipulated by Haman. Haman hated the Jews, and he hated them for not bowing down to him. In modern Iran, we do not hear very much directly from Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, so we can only surmise his position on destroying Israel and the Jews. On the other hand, Ahmadinejad is very clear about it, and we see no indication that Khamenei intends to rein him in. In ancient Persia, the conflict was essentially between the God of Israel and Haman and Ahasuerus. These two established themselves almost as human gods to whom the populace had to bow down upon penalty of death. In modern Iran, Ahmadinejad wants to bring death and destruction upon Israel and the Jewish people because they will not bow down to the Iranians' Muslim god, Allah. You see the analogies. I can go further in these, but I think I've made my point that the Purim story is being repeated in Iran and also elsewhere in the Middle East before our very eyes. Customarily at Purim, we focus on the two heroes of the story, Esther and Mordechai. Let's remember, however, what Esther asked Mordechai to do that we read in chapter 4, verse 16. Go assemble all the Jews to be found in Shushan and have them fast for me, neither eating nor drinking for 3 days, night and day. Also, I and the girls attending me will fast the same way. Then I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Earlier I said that there's no mention of God or praying to God in the book of Esther, but the inference here is clear, since without relying on God, fasting would have been valueless. Notice that not only did Esther and her attendants fast, but so did all the Israelites in Shushan. I do not intend to take anything away from Esther or Mordechai by saying this, but it was not their fasting and courageous actions alone that moved God to save Israel. It was the corporate prayer and fasting of the Jewish people. The need for the Jewish people and others who support them to fast for the protection of Israel, especially considering what is happening in the Middle East today, should be considered one of the main messages of the book of Esther. That is why on March 7th of this year, Ohev Yisrael will join with other Messianic Jewish congregations, both in America and in Israel, to fast and pray for Israel's protection from its neighbors who would destroy it, chief among them being Iran. In doing so, we will be relying on the promise in James 5:16, which says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And because we perceive a spirit of antisemitism that hovers over the entire Middle East, we might also remember Yeshua's instruction to his disciples, whom they were having trouble ridding of a boy of an unclean spirit, and he said to them, as it is written in Mark 9:29 in the New King James Version, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." And so, when that day comes, I hope that many of us on March 7th will, if we don't come to the afternoon prayer session, that in our homes, in our work, wherever we go to work, that we will fast that day, and several times during the day we'll break and go to prayer, lift up Israel, the Jewish people, and ask God for their protection. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this message. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.